Gérald Mathieu is the CEO of Barclays Monaco, and I've got some on the line now. Gérald, congratulations on your appointment as CEO of Barclays Monaco, and this isn't the first time you've been on Riviera Radio either.
Yes, thank you very much, Rob. Hello. No, it's not the first time I'm back in Monaco permanently. It is so great to be back, actually. Monaco is a very special place to me personally, and I have family and friends here. After the last year, we all know how important it is to have those people close by to you. Of course, I started my career with Barclays Private Bank in Monaco in 2010, before I moved to Geneva as CEO of the Swiss operation in early 2018. It is very good to be back in Monaco and back on the Riviera Radio waves. Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, it's been a very difficult couple of years with COVID-19. We've had very little face-to-face interaction and none of the glamorous events that Monaco is so famous for. How's this affected your business and how is Barclays Monaco responding?
Yes, COVID-19 continues to bring challenges. There is no doubt that COVID-19 has hugely impacted the business world, and particularly that of events and corporate hospitality. The pandemic has pushed all banks in the world to reinvent themselves. We reacted very quickly and adapted our strategy to deliver the usual excellent service that our clients rightly expect. Importantly, we have ensured our focus remains on how we are servicing and keeping in touch with clients at a time when face-to-face contact is difficult and their needs are rapidly evolving. We are holding less regional events, but opening up more of the events we are hosting virtually across all platforms. Of course, we are looking forward to meeting with our colleagues and contacts face-to-face when conditions allow. In Monaco specifically, during my first week back, I had the privilege of taking part in the events surrounding the 5th Monaco Ocean Week, which focuses on the preservation of our oceans. We are supporting this initiative through our partnership with the Fondation Prince Albert, which is dedicated to the protection of the environment and the promotion of sustainable development on a global scale. We actively participated in sessions, and Damien Payatakis, our head of sustainable and impact investing, contributed to the conversation surrounding the blue finance and the blue economy.
Now, what's the Barclays Private Bank growth plans in Europe, please, Gérald?
Well, actually, Europe is a very important region for Barclays Private Bank, where we see a lot of opportunities. We recently set up a robust platform in Dublin, from which we can serve clients of the European Economic Area, and we have a specialized team of experts and advisors located there. I'm very excited, actually, to say that we are extending our footprint. Last month, by the way, we announced our expansion into France and Italy, where we now have representatives from Barclays Private Bank on the ground. As you know, I'm now based in Monaco, but as head of Europe and Middle East for Barclays Private Bank, I'm working with our platforms across both regions to ensure we continue to grow as the partner of choice to global ultra networks and family offices in these regions. Important to note and key to our success is our collaboration with Barclays Investment and Corporate Bank, which already has a strong presence in both Europe and the Middle East and enables us to bring bespoke solutions and banking products to our clients.
What about growth plans in Monaco? Is Barclays here to stay?
Very good question. Thank you, Rob. I can reassure you and all the Riviera Radio listeners that Barclays Private Bank in Monaco remains as solid as the rock. The Principality is a key strategic location for Barclays Private Bank. As the only Anglo-Saxon bank in the Principality, we are proud to bring our British heritage to Monaco. Nearly 100 years on, our commitment to the region remains as strong as ever, and we look forward to celebrating Barclays Monaco centenary next year. Our offering is unique in the local market, and that only reinforces the fact that we are here to stay. We bring to our sophisticated clients in the Principality the expertise of our specialists and have strong capabilities to financing assets in the Principality, France, and in other parts of the world like the UK and the US. My appointment as CEO Barclays Monaco and the appointment of Olivier Franceschelli as head of PB Monaco are also signs of our commitment to the region.
Well, there's been a recent research series from Barclays Private Bank called Smarter Succession on the intergenerational transfer of wealth, showing sustainable investing is increasingly being brought into wealthy families' consideration by younger generations. Do you think millennials are really driving high net worth parents and grandparents in a shift to sustainable investing?
Well, actually, it's a fantastic subject. I'm really passionate about that. And yes, that's what we are finding when we are talking to our clients. Sustainable investing is a topic that is piquing interest across all generations, not only the young generation. Our Smarter Succession report, as you said, Rob, surveyed over 400 high net worth people around the world to gain exclusive insight into the tensions surrounding wealth and business transfer. The research found that 7 in 10 of older wealthy generations said millennials are leading their family towards more sustainable investing, whilst 4 in 5 of all generations of high net worth family members indicate that responsible investing is important to them. We often hear how sustainable investing can benefit portfolios whilst positively contributing to the world around us. Our research also points to its potential benefits for aligning a family around shared values and supporting intergenerational wealth transfer.
Well, given that sustainable investing is getting more and more consideration, what do you do at Barclays Private Bank to ensure this sustainable investing need is fulfilled? What exactly is sustainable investing?
Well, actually, today, investing sustainably encompasses a variety of approaches that have different techniques and implications. Ethical investing allows investors to avoid companies that don't align with their personal values. Responsible investing includes non-financial, environmental, social, and governance factors of how a company operates to enhance investment selection. Whilst impact investing also considers the outcomes generated from the company's goods and services in selection. From conversation with clients, and probably due to the strong and visible leadership of Prince Albert and his foundation, particularly around environmental and ocean issues, we've also seen that the discussion of these issues and willingness to act is part of the fabric of the community here in Monaco. The principality has several favorable factors, like its stability, which enables many investors to look out to the world with a sense of responsibility to make it a better place, historically through philanthropy, and now increasingly, though, and through sustainable and impact investing.
Well, it's been really nice chatting with you, Gerald. Thank you for sparing us the time. And now you're back in Monaco on a permanent basis. I hope we'll get the chance to chat more often. And hopefully as well, once this horrible pandemic has receded, you'll be able to come back into our recording studio too.
For sure. And thank you very much, Rob, for the opportunity. Always great to chat with you on Riviera Radio. And hopefully soon enough, we will do it face to face.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
London Times reports that Downing Street is concerned the involvement of a Tory donor in funding Boris Johnson's flat renovation has left a damaging paper trail at Conservative Party headquarters. The Electoral Commission launched an investigation yesterday of the party's role in funding the redecoration of the home that he shares with his fiancée and son above 11 Downing Street. It said there were reasonable grounds to suspect the law had been broken because of the failure to report donations. USA Today reports that in his first address to a joint session of Congress, President Biden both looked back on his first 100 days in office and laid out a vision for the future of his administration, from talking about increasing taxes on the rich to urging Congress to take action on gun violence and police reform. And from the Irish Independent, DUP insiders are predicting a leadership contest between Edwin Poots and Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, with the Agriculture Minister currently the clear favourites to win. The Lagan Valley MP is backed by moderates and reformers in the party. BBC World Service News live from London coming up.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayonne Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Now, the French Prime Minister has given a press conference to explain the government's next steps in the easing of coronavirus restrictions. Jean Castex said the government would be taking a phased and progressive approach. He was speaking after Wednesday's meeting of the French cabinet in Paris and said that President Macron would explain more this coming Friday. On the subject of the curfew, Mr. Castex said the government intended to end restrictions but would reserve the rights to reimpose stricter measures should the virus show signs of running out of control again. Reports in French media say that could mean curfew restrictions being lifted at the start of June. Mr. Castex also said the government was working on plans for a health pass to allow people to travel overseas to countries that will be accepting foreign visitors. The Prime Minister said there are clear signs the battle to control the virus is being won and that the national R rate has dropped to 0.9 over the past week. The government says it will not yet allow just any adults to be vaccinated against COVID-19 despite take-up falling short in many areas of the country. The news has prompted criticism from opposition politicians, with the Mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, questioning why the government was sticking to its plan when there were clearly many people who wished to be vaccinated but are not yet eligible. Take-up for vaccines, particularly the AstraZeneca jab, has been slow in many areas after fears were raised over the possibility of blood clots. Vaccination for all over 50s is set to start on May the 15th, with younger age groups being called later in the summer. The latest statistics show that by next week, more than 70% of the over 60s will have been vaccinated. French authorities have arrested seven Italian far-left guerrilla fighters who escaped terrorism convictions at home by fleeing the country. The seven are reported to have been hiding out in France for decades, and police are seeking a further three who were convicted on terrorism charges linked to bombings and assassinations in Italy in the late 1960s to the early 1980s. The Italian government has been asking France for many years to arrest and extradite the fugitives, who have all been named in Italian and French newspapers. Five of those arrested belong to the far-left Red Brigades, who fought with right-wing militants in Italy during the period known as the Years of Lead. Under the Mitterrand Doctrine policy in force at the time, France allowed the terrorists to remain in the country and avoid extradition to Italy as long as they promised to renounce violence. The arrests have come following a meeting earlier this month between the French and Italian justice ministers and a telephone conversation between the Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi and President Macron. Several large luxury hotels on the Riviera are getting ready to open their doors again following six-month closures because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Negresco Nice will open again on the 6th of May, with all 102 rooms and 26 suites ready to be occupied. In Cannes, the famous Martinez and Majestic hotels are also getting ready for business. Strict coronavirus protocols will be enforced for guests. Meanwhile, the Carlton Hotel in Cannes is not now expected to open again until 2023, owing to extensive refurbishment, which is overrun because of the pandemic. Some items of furniture, including armchairs and beds along with artwork, is due to go up for auction between the 10th and 26th of May. And France has announced a crackdown on people using fake medical certificates to access gyms and swimming pools. Fitness centres and pools have been closed since October owing to the pandemic, but exemptions have been granted to those with a medical certificate for sporting activity. Reports say that some people have been asking their doctor to provide them with the certificate, even when it's not necessary. The French Doctors' Union has conceded the system is open to abuse and has blamed non-regulated virtual consultations. Regular police patrols are now being carried out across the country to make sure the owners of fitness centres and their customers are not abusing the system. As yet, there's no word on when fitness centres and gyms will be allowed to reopen normally again, but it's likely to be sometime in June.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, it's advantage Manchester City after the first leg of the European Champions League semi-final tie against Paris Saint-Germain. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. The English Premier League leaders Manchester City came from a goal down to win the first leg of their Champions League semi-final against Paris Saint-Germain 2-1 in the French capital. Brazilian international Marquinhos had given the Parisians the lead in the first half, but City scored twice after the break through Kevin De Bruyne and Riyad Mahrez to take a lead into next week's second leg. Former England international Chris Waddle co-commentated on the game for the BBC.
Paris were a better team first half, went 1-0 up, and second half a different City came out. The tempo, there was more movement, they all enjoyed the ball more. And I've got to say Paris dropped off the pace, and Mbappe and Neymar, we didn't see them second half at all, who are so much key players for Paris Saint-Germain. But Man City second half performance was excellent.
Harvey Barnes will miss Leicester City's Premier League run-in, including the FA Cup final and the European Championships for England. The midfielder has been out since the end of February because of a knee injury. Here's his manager, Brendan Rodgers.
It's not to be. Slight setback with Harvey, so just going in to have a second operation just to clear up some of the damage in his knee. So it'll probably rule him out, I would say, for the rest of the season. The plan is really to get him through this second little operation and then be back for pre-season and fit and ready for next season.
Spotify founder Daniel Ek says his proposed Arsenal takeover is very serious and that he's secured funds for a deal. Amid last week's fallout from the European Super League collapse, Ek said he was interested in buying the club. Arsenal legends Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp and Patrick Vieira have joined his bid, but owners Stan and Josh Kroenke say they do not want to sell. Arsenal are away to Villarreal for the first leg of their Europa League semi-final on Thursday, while Manchester United host Roma. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Are the Kroenkes getting cranky? Sounds like it, doesn't it? Formula One Turkey will replace the Canadian Grand Prix this year after the Montreal event had to be cancelled because of the coronavirus pandemic. Turkey's Istanbul track will now host the event between the 11th and 13th of June. Meanwhile, the contract for a race on Montreal's Gilles Villeneuve circuit has been extended by 2 years to 2031. Turkey returns for a second successive year as a stand-in race because of disruption caused by the pandemic. Rugby union George North is the latest player to be ruled out of the British and Irish Lions tour of South Africa through injury. The 29-year-old ruptured the anterior cruciate ligaments in his right knee, playing for Ospreys against Cardiff Blues on Saturday. Lions coach Warren Gatland will name his 36-man squad for the tour on the 6th of May. And in tennis, Novak Djokovic has pulled out of next month's Madrid Open. The 33-year-old Serb said he was sorry he could not be able to travel to Madrid for the event, which starts on Sunday and comes 4 weeks ahead of the French Open. Djokovic has been in patchy form recently and lost in the Monte Carlo Masters earlier this month to Dan Evans. He is expected to play in Rome and Belgrade next month as part of his preparations for Roland Garros.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the Var, the general situation of depression, 1,007 millibars over the Balearics. Winds are southeasterly, force 2 to 3. The sea is calm. Visibility is moderate. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,009 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, showers, force 2 to 3. Southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is moderate, barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,008 millibars, and the outlook for Friday, showers, force 2 to 4, easterly winds, slight seas, and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Not at all nice today. Overcast with rain, light to moderate southeasterly winds, temperatures 17 degrees. Overnight lows 12 or 13 degrees with more rain. Friday and the start of the weekend, more rain tomorrow. Sunshine and showers on Saturday, highs of 16 to 18 degrees. Finally, a man from southeast London made his weekly supermarket shop less mundane by parking in every available space, a challenge he took 6 years to finish. Gareth Wild, who's 39 and from Bromley, posted the results of his projects on social media, which have been liked by more than 100,000 people. Mr. Wild explained he wanted to add fun to the monotony of parking. I do like a good spreadsheet, he said, but I didn't expect this kind of reaction. For the last 6 years, I've kept a spreadsheet listing every parking spot I've used at the local supermarkets in a bid to park in them all. How interesting. This week, I completed my magnum opus. The father of two decided in 2015 to turn his weekly Sainsbury's shop into something more purposeful. Using his spreadsheets and Google Maps, he noted the 2,211 spots available to him, with disability spaces and motorcycle bays excluded, dividing them into categories A to F. It feels kind of like the old Panini stickers album, he said, but a really boring version of it. Yeah, you said it. Picking a favourite spot is tricky for him, but it's all about C1. He joked, the moment you drive in, it's the first one you see past the restricted bays, right at the front near the trolleys. Every criteria is met. He completed his challenge on the 24th of April by slotting his Skoda Octavia into F20, which he described as a pig to get in. He said, I don't want to make out this was too big a deal, but there was a moment of elation. His social media thread received hundreds of replies and questions from people wanting to know the best space to use. It turns out there are a lot of questions about car parks, he said. I don't think I've ever seen a thread on Twitter where it's been so unanimously positive. I don't expect that from Twitter, so it's been very refreshing. Well, as long as he enjoyed it. And 100,000 other people as well, apparently.